I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is May 24th, 2009. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's subject: most religious groups in the United States have lost ground. The USA is now land of the freelancers. The percentage of people who call themselves in some way Christian has dropped more than 11% in one generation. The faithful have scattered out of their traditional bases. The Bible Belt is less Baptist. The Rust Belt is less Catholic. And everywhere, more people are exploring spiritual frontiers or falling off the faith map completely. These dramatic shifts in just 18 years are detailed in the new American Religious Identification Survey to be released soon. It finds that despite growth and immigration that has added nearly 50 million adults to the United States population, almost all religious denominations have lost ground since the first survey in 1990. More than ever before, people are just making up their own stories of who they are. Among the key findings in the 2008 survey, 1. So many Americans claim no religion at all, 15%, up from 8% in 1990, that this category now outranks every other major U.S. religious group except Catholics and Baptists. In a nation that has long been mostly Christian, the challenge to Christianity does not come from other religions, but from a rejection of all forms of organized religion. Catholic strongholds in New England and the Midwest have faded as immigrants, retirees, and young job seekers have moved to the Sun Belt. While bishops from the Midwest to Massachusetts closed down or consolidate historic parishes, those in the South are scrambling to serve increasing numbers of worshipers. Next, Baptists, about 16% of those surveyed, are down from 19% in 1990. Mainline Protestant denominations, once socially dominant, have seen sharp declines. The percentage of Methodists, for example, dropped from 8 to 5%. The percentage of those who choose a generic label calling themselves simply Christian, Protestant, non-denominational, evangelical, or born again was 14%, about the same as 1990. Jewish numbers showed a steady decline from 1.8% in 1990 to 1.2% today. The percentage of Muslims, while still slim, has doubled from 0.3% to 0.6%. Analysts within both groups suggest those numbers understate the group's populations. Ihsan Bagby, associate professor of Islamic studies at the University of Kentucky, Lexington, says that most national telephone surveys, such as this one, undercount Muslims, and that he is conducting a study of mosques' membership sponsored by the Hartford, Connecticut Institute for Religious Research. Meanwhile, some Jewish surveys that report larger numbers of Jews also include cultural Jews, those who connect to Judaism through its traditions but not necessarily through actively practicing the religion. Meanwhile, nearly 3 million people now identify with dozens of new religious movements, calling themselves Wiccan, Pagan, or Spiritualist. Wicca, a contemporary form of paganism that includes goddess worship and reverence for nature, has even made its way to Arlington National Cemetery, where the Pentagon now allows Wiccan's five-pointed star symbol to be used on veterans' gravestones. Since the first study was released in 1990, other major national surveys have offered snapshots of the United States faith. The Baylor University Religion Surveys in 2006 and 2008, each based on 35,000 interviews, were distinguished by a look at how people described and understood God. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life released its religious landscape survey last year, also based on 35,000 interviews, mapping Americans' beliefs state by state. It found that 41% of people had switched their religion at some point in life. In the Baylor survey, how far is heaven? Americans say at least half will make it. In the Pew survey, how people from different faiths answered questions on Hollywood, homosexuality, politics, and prayer. The initial report in 1990 set the table for those surveys. It was based on 113,000 interviews, updated with 50,000 more in 2001, and now 54,000 more in 2008. Because the U.S. Census does not ask about religion, this survey was the first comprehensive study of how people identify their spiritual expression. Cosman concluded that the 1990 data that many saw God as a personal hobby and that USA is a greenhouse for spiritual sprouts. Today, he says, religion has become more like a fashion statement, not a deep personal commitment for many. He is now director of the Institute for the Study of Secularism in Society and Culture at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. The survey itself may have contributed to a higher rate of reporting as sociologists began analyzing the newly identified people who claimed none. The nuns may have felt more free to step forward, less looked upon as outcasts after the 1990 results were published. Oregon once led the nation in nuns. That's not Catholic nuns, that's none, as in N-O-N-E. Oregon had 18% in 1990, but in 2008, the leader with 34% was Vermont, where nuns significantly outnumber every other group. Anger and dismay over the clergy sexual abuse scandal, which erupted in Boston in 2002, may be reflected in declining rates of Catholics across New England. But the total percentage of Catholicism in the U.S. declined only slightly in those 18 years, from 26.2% to 25.1%. Analysts say immigration and other demographic shifts account for most of the changes. Membership in New England's Catholic churches is shrinking, as older Catholics have died or moved to sunnier climates. Young adults are choosing non-Catholic partners, having civil weddings, and skipping baptism for their babies. And those moving into areas served by the churches are young adults who often find their commitments of work and friendship online, not in parish halls. South Carolina also exemplifies the Protestant faith's shrinking share of the national religion pie. The state has more Catholics, 10%, up from 6% in 1990, and the percentage of nuns has more than tripled, from 3 to 10%. The share of Protestants is 73%, down from 88%. Cosman also found a piety gap in how Americans understand God. While 69% say they believe in a personal God, the Judeo-Christian understanding of the Almighty, an additional 30% made no such connection. The piety gap defines the primary sides in the culture wars. It's about gay marriage and abortion and stem cells and family. If a personal God says, thou shalt not, or thou shalt see these in a certain way, you take it very seriously. Meanwhile, 3 in 10 people aren't listening to that God. Additional narrowly focused surveys with closer looks at Catholics, evangelicals, mainline Protestants, and African American Christians will be released later this year by Trinity's Program on Public Values, which sponsored these surveys. And if you want to see the chart that I'm going to briefly go over here, but if you want to see the whole chart, go to the website theskepticarena.com and go to the archives page where you will have a choice to download and listen or to download a document that you can read. If you download the document, you can then read this table. This table shows religious movement in the United States, how Americans describe their religious identity from 1990 to 2008. Catholic is number one, and they dropped very slightly, only 1% in those 18 years. There was a drop of 3.5% in the next largest group, which is Baptists. The third largest group in America is non-religious. They almost doubled from 8 to 15%. Next comes generic Christian, mainline Protestant, and then into smaller religions. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, counting chickens after they hatch. Young chickens just a few days old can count and perform basic arithmetic. Researchers manipulated objects that the chicks had formed an attachment to, moving the objects behind little screens, and found that the observant young birds kept track of where the objects were. In effect, the chicks were solving simple math problems, like 4 minus 2 equals 2. While some adult animals, including primates and dogs, have been found to have an understanding of basic math, researchers had not previously demonstrated numerical abilities in any young animals except for humans. Karen Nguyen, who has reported evidence of numerical skills in human babies, points out that the chicks haven't had a chance to learn or develop much. This work, then, is a compelling existence proof that numerical understanding comprises a built-in system of unlearned knowledge. To conduct the experiment, lead researcher Rosa Rugani relied on two chick behaviors. First, she used imprinting, or the fact that chicks always try to stay close to objects they are reared with, just as they stay close to and follow their mother as soon as they hatch. When the experimental chicks first hatched, researchers put little yellow balls in their cage. They treat the balls as companions. Next, they exploited the chick's tendency to flock together. A solitary chick will typically rush to join the largest group of chicks it can find. In the experiment, the researchers put 2 yellow balls behind one screen and 3 yellow balls behind another, as an enclosed chick looked on. When the chick was released from its enclosure, it zoomed to the screen with 3 balls. The study, which will be published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society, then pushed the chicks one step farther and tested their ability to do basic arithmetic. For example, researchers piled 4 balls behind one screen and 2 balls behind the other, and then moved 2 balls from one pile to the other. The birds were able to count the balls that were moved to work out which screen hid the larger set at the end of the transfer. They still chose correctly, adding up the numbers based on groups of objects they couldn't see at the moment. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we go to Africa, where gays are under threat in Senegal. A mob gathered near a mosque outside Dakar. They were there to hunt down and kill 9 men accused of homosexual acts. Earlier this week, the 9 Senegalese AIDS activists were freed from 8-year prison terms for alleged homosexual acts, but they went into hiding because of death threats from Muslim religious leaders and the general population. The homosexuals will not escape lynching. They will be fish food, quoted a local youth leader. Gay men will never be free in Senegal. They expose us all to danger. The judges should understand that Senegalese people need to protect their children and their families from homosexuality. In Senegal, where 95% of the population is Muslim, homosexual acts are punishable by fines and up to 5 years in prison. In January, the 9 men received the harshest sentence yet for such an offense in Senegal, getting the maximum of 5 years and an additional 3 for criminal conspiracy. Though widely supported in Senegal, the conviction was condemned by international human rights groups and foreign governments, most notably France. They were judged and condemned very severely, surely on the basis of public outcry. Therefore, the justice was neither objective nor founded in law. A Dakar appeals court overturned that decision Monday, citing violations of legal protocol. Acting on an anonymous tip, police had arrested the men, most of whom do HIV prevention work in the men having sex with men community in December at the home of a prominent gay activist. But the police did not have a search warrant, nor did they catch the men in the act, which is required by the Senegalese law prohibiting indecent acts against nature. The judge hearing the appeal therefore declared their convictions null and void. Yet even as smiling attorneys and supporters celebrated in the packed courtroom Monday and exchanged congratulations, plans were already in place to get the freedmen into hiding outside Dakar. The first judge sentenced them to 8 years. He had the courage to say it. The judge that let them go was much less courageous. He yielded to international pressure. The punishment for homosexuality is death in Islam. To be gay is a choice. Homosexuality is an impure, corruptive force threatening to infect Senegalese society, particularly its youth. In our society, homosexuality will never be accepted, Niang said. Our religion forbids it, so we can never accept it, even if it is accepted everywhere else in the world. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Instead of a famous individual, this quote comes from an old Japanese proverb. If you believe everything you read, you better not read.
Are you ready, Groot?